So we're beginning a new series this morning, and the series is called, Oh, What a Beautiful Name. That's what it is. That's what it's about. And what I want to say to you, the reason we're going to be doing this for the next number of weeks, we're going to be doing that song and looking at it in greater detail and other songs that we might glorify God. You see, many years ago, myself and Elizabeth came to know Jesus. There's a lot of people coming to know God. And we are delighted that you're signing up for Next Steps. 12:30, the class is beginning. We're thrilled that you're doing that. We're thrilled that you come to worship. We're thrilled that you come and you tithe and you give. We're thrilled that you join a connect group. We're delighted that you begin to serve in church and serve in the community. But our desire, our passion, my job, my role is that you would love Jesus Christ head over heels. That's what this is about. Our church is about Jesus. So take your seats as we begin to look. See, what a beautiful name. Names are important. The dictionary says this. A name is a word or words by which an entity is designated and distinguished from others. Do you know where most people get their theology from? It's either from the pulpit or from our worship songs. That's it. Most people don't study theology, don't study doctrine, don't study their Bible on a regular basis. Most people, and that's just the reality. Where a lot of the stats come out of America. Why? Because they've got one or two people over there. So the bigger number of people, it's easier to do surveys. It's easier to draw stats from. And over 90% of Christians do not read their Bible on a regular basis. Over 90% of Christians do not go to any kind of a Bible study. So what you do is you get it from either me, and I want to tell you, I try and give you everything I can, but don't believe everything that comes out of my mouth. You better check it in the Word of God. Do never quote because P.J. Booth said. You quote because the Word of God says. Right? Our relationship is with Jesus, not with P.J. I'm not the middleman. I'm not your advocate. I'm not between you and Jesus. Those days are gone. 2,000 years ago when Jesus died on the cross. Jesus is the direct Lord, God, and Savior. There is no man between you and Christ Jesus. It's your direct relationship. Those days are gone. I do not wear a collar. I will never wear a collar or a funny skirt or anything else to go with it. Our relationship is with Jesus. So your responsibility is to have that relationship with Jesus. That's what this is about. We want to encourage you. So it's really important that who you call God and how you understand God is correct. And not just because of a song. Most of the modern songwriters, thanks be to God, especially in Europe, you know what they do? They submit their songs to a theologian. That's what they do. And they said, correct that, change that. Because sometimes we worship this wimpy, watery, washy-wishy God. No, he's the God of heaven and earth. He's all-powerful and almighty and majestic. And he lives in unapproachable light. He is holy and beautiful and gracious and kind. He is that God. And so so sometimes you hear songs. I hear them sometimes sing and say, where on earth did that come from? Because it didn't come from the Bible. So it's really important that we're grounded. It's really important that we have a good theology, that the songs that we sing and the names that we call God are actually biblical. It's really, really important to this. So we're going to be singing those songs. So we love when you come to church, but we love when you love Jesus. That's our passion. Our aim and our goal. You know, myself and Elizabeth have had a lot of loss, a lot of tragedy over the years in our own family, but probably more in church, in this family. We have had loss, we have had disappointment, we've had a lot of stuff go on. But do you know myself and Elizabeth love Jesus? We have loved Jesus at the beginning because we fell in love with him and we continue to love him. So we're not disappointed. We haven't taken offense. We haven't left the church because this is the church of Jesus Christ. And we keep going back to that place of surrender and keep going back to that place of forgiveness. Why? Because we love Jesus. Because he is our Lord. This church is not our Lord. I love Open Arms. We love you. We love this church. But this is not where I get my grounding. This is not my anchor. This is not who I am. Because it's not really about who I am. It's about whose I am. And if I have to retire tomorrow, I'll still be as happy. Because I do not get my identity from what I do. Can you hear what I'm saying? We do not get our identity from what we do. I don't have a ministry. People say, what's your ministry? I don't have one. I just love Jesus and love the church. That's it. My ministry is to love people. Love God, love self, and love you. And if I can do that, when we're done with that, maybe then give me another job. But between now and then, I'm going to be pretty, pretty busy. Some leaders are amazed that people don't follow them. Myself and Elizabeth have always been amazed that anyone would follow us. Honestly, we really have. We've been amazed because we fell in love with Jesus. And he start bringing one or two, and then he start bringing 10. And we're amazed. We are utterly, constantly amazed by what God is doing. And people say, well, that's humble. I don't know what it is. We're just amazed. Who cares what it is? It just means that he's God and we're not. And it means that somehow we have the privilege and the honor of serving him and his church. And if we can do that, God has room to move at that place. And whatever category you want to put in it. But after 27 years, we still love Jesus. Because Jesus is the one we fell in love with. Jesus has become my anchor, my rock, the lover of my soul. He is my Alpha and Omega, my advocate, my author and perfecter of my faith. He is my authority. He's the bread of life. He's the beloved Son of God. He's my bridegroom, my chief cornerstone, my deliverer. He is faithful and true. He's my good shepherd, my high priest. He's the head of the church. He's the great I am. He's Emmanuel, God with us. He's the judge of all. He's the King of kings, the Lamb of God, the light of the world, the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He's Lord of all. He's mediator. He's Messiah. He's the mighty one. He's our hope, our peace, our prophet, our redeemer, our risen Lord, our rock, our savior, the Son of Man, the Son of the Most High, the supreme creator of all, the resurrection, the life. He's the door, the way, the word, the truth, the vine. He's the victorious one. He's the wonderful counselor. He's the Prince of Peace. And we call him Jesus. And we call him Jesus. And he's the one that we worship. He is the one that we worship. He's all. It's all about. I love the local church. I'm committed to the local church. I'm committed to planting more local churches with Jesus as the head. Right? Not with anything else. I believe in the fivefold ministry, but I believe in Jesus as the head of everything. When we keep coming back to him, we keep coming back to Jesus. He is the one who came. He's the one who died. He is the one who took our place. He's the one who's coming back for me and you. And as I said last Sunday, if you weren't here, we did a funeral on Saturday. And I said that death did not come for this brother. Jesus comes. And when P.J. Boucher said he died, death came for him. It's a lie. Jesus will come for me. Death does not hold any promise for me. Death has nothing for me. Jesus is going to come for me. Jesus is going to come for you when that time comes. But between now and again, he's with you. He resides in your heart. He's all of those names that I call out. He is our promise. He is Jesus. He's Lord, God, and Savior of all. Beginning in John's Gospel, it says, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. These are foundational words. This is the foundation of God, man, Jesus, God. All in these words. Verse 3, through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. This is Jesus. And again, think, because sometimes I read too fast. For me, I read too fast. You ever read? I read too fast. Sometimes I read maybe about Jonah, and I read a whole lot in one sitting, and I go, oh, that was good. And all the heartache and the promise and the faith and the miracles in between. We've got to stop. What does that? He created all things. Jesus. You think of the universe. I don't have many spaceships are up there. Some of them are starting to fall out of the sky now of recent times. He created all of that. He holds it all in the palm of his hand. He says he knows all the stars, the trillions upon trillions upon trillions, and he knows them by name. He's got names on them.
What's that like? He's got names on. He created all things. Through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. If it exists, he made it. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. He was in the world, and through him the world was made through him, but the world did not recognize him. He was there. He made. He's our creator. But we look, we didn't just know him. Verse 11, he came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who receive him, and this is the promise. This is the promise to you and to me. No matter how many times we read this, no matter how many times it goes over our head, we've got to allow this to drop into our heart. Yet to all who receive him, to those who believed in his name, what's his name? His name is Jesus, beautiful beyond compare. He gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent or of a human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh. The God of heaven and earth became flesh. The one who created all things became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of what? Full of grace and truth. That double-edged sword, grace and truth. And then, skipping down to verse 29, John the Baptist, the next day said, he saw Jesus coming towards him, and he declared who he was. He said, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. In the opening chapter of John's Gospel, we see that Jesus is the Word. He is the Logos. He is God. He always was, is, and always will be. And the purpose of his birth, see, the purpose of the incarnation was not just for the incarnation. The purpose of the incarnation was that Jesus would go to the cross of Calvary. That's why he came. He came that he might die, that we might live. We've got to keep getting that and getting that and getting that. And there's times when we come along and we slip and we fall and we have bad attitudes and the enemy says, you're some Christian, blah, 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 blah. What do? We stop worshiping. We stop praying. We stop coming to church. But everything the enemy says is a lie, because when we were his enemies, he hung on that cross. Jesus hung on the cross. He came that we might have life. He's the Lamb of God who was slain for PJ, for Mary, for Sean, for Jimmy. He's the Lamb of God who died for us, who took our place on the cross of Calvary. Paul writes about who Jesus is. And you know what I'm doing today? I'm just throwing out my favorite scriptures. Honestly, that's what I'm doing. The ones that these are my go-tos. The ones where I know when I open the book, they're on the right-hand side, just three-quarter ways top, underlined. This is about 1991, 92. That's where I'm going. Colossians 1, 15 to 20 says, he is the image of the invisible God. Again, who are we talking about? Jesus. He. So think of it. This is Jesus. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He's the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him. So Jesus the man, Jesus God. all deity lives in him. God fills the universe, it's true. But somehow, in the person of Jesus, all deity lives in him. He is 100% God. He's 100% man. It is the miracle of the incarnation. But the purpose, the reason behind it, is that God came as God-man to be the sacrificial lamb who would take away the sins of the world. God came because there was no man. There was animals slain that could cover, and it did cover for several thousand years. But there had to be a perfect sacrifice. And since there was no man, God came himself. We have to understand this and get this straight off. There had to be a perfect sacrifice. And the sacrifice was not to the devil. The payment was not to the devil. The payment was back to the justice of God. God satisfied the justice within himself by coming in God, man, the person of Jesus, that he would die a perfect sacrifice to pay for your sin and to pay for my sin. And it is done. It is over. It is finished. It is yes. It is amen. And when Jesus hung on the cross and he said, "It is finished," there's a lot in that one statement. The reason I came, the mission I came on, the purpose I came from is over. The separation between God and man is over. The curtain that was separated has been rent from top to bottom. It is over. It is a finished work, the work of Calvary. Because God came and died as man perfect, that you and I would not have to die. And he died what? Once for all. One sacrifice. Never has to happen again. One sacrifice satisfied the justice and the holiness and the righteousness of God who is perfect. We are saved today because of the work of Calvary. See, Easter continues. Easter just doesn't happen on one Sunday. It's Monday. Every Monday of the year. Every Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday of the year, all the round. There is no stopping. There is nothing comes to an end. And again, Paul qualifies this, his purpose of God, Colossians 1, 20, 22. Again, Jesus said, and through him, to reconcile to himself all things. Are you part of the all? To reconcile. Did anyone ever do a bit of bookkeeping? I worked for myself once, and I tried to do it. And I had 100 euro for myself, and I ended up, I had 90 for the tax man. I was short tenor, and I had to try and reconcile it. There was a difference. There was a gap between us and God. Jesus was the one who reconciled. He's the one who evened the books. And you know in terms, you know what has happened? Imagine I come along and people talk about winning the lotto and winning all kinds of stuff. Well, I tell you, in a sense, I won the lotto. Because this is what has happened. Jesus made a deposit in the bank of heaven. He wrote his name in his own blood. And he said, Peter's penalty is paid in full. Paid in full. It's paid for. You're paid for. You have been bought. I'm not even at the end, but let me quickly go to the end and I'll come back. Imagine somehow or another a miracle happens and I get €1 million and I find out Sean Duncan's bank account and I put €500,000 into his bank account. That could be a word, Sean. Or the pizza I had last night. It was something anyway, right? But imagine. So imagine Sean Duncan. So he retires. And he gets his measly pension. And he has to sell his car. He can't even afford to go for a game of golf. God bless his little heart. Can't bring it. Well, he can bring his wife from McDonald's. Okay, we'll splash out. And he's living like a miser. But in his bank account is €500,000. At some point, Sean has to make a withdrawal. Jesus has paid the price. In the bank of heaven, Your sins are paid for 100%. But you've got to make the withdrawal. And as Christians, you know what we do? People say, but that's a salvation. No, it's not a salvation call. This is a kid's call. Because we're children of God and we live like paupers. We're children of God and we still go around and we make a mistake and we have a bad attitude or we see something we don't or something sticks to our mind and we go around like paupers. We got to make a withdrawal. I am forgiven. I am cleansed. I am a child of God. I am a son of God. My price has been paid and I will not go back there again and I will walk in his authority and I will not let the enemy put me into a box and I will continue to worship. I'll continue to serve. I'll continue to go to church. Why? Because of what Jesus has achieved on the cross of Calvary. That's what this is about. What a beautiful name. It's all in there. What a beautiful name it is. What a powerful name it is because of what he has achieved on the cross. So as I conclude, I've this thought in my mind. I always like, there's 6.6 million people living in Ireland. It keeps increasing. When not so long ago, remember starting talking about there were 6 billion people on the face of the earth. It's now 7.6 billion people. I don't know where they're after going from. Right? But 7.6 billion people on the face of the earth. And I said, well, what's a billion? 1,000 million is a billion. Sean, if you make that, make a large one, all right? Just saying. 1,000 million equals a billion. So there's 7,500 million people on the face of the earth. We know within the universe there are trillions upon trillions upon trillions upon trillions of stars. And there's worlds and galaxies within galaxies and galaxies and galaxies. And the one we live in, the Milky Way and all, is a very tiny dot. And then you come to the Earth and it's a very tiny, 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 tiny dot. Imagine the one who created this, who holds, right? Imagine in my mind's eye, he sails through the trillions of stars, through the galaxies, into the Milky Way, into Earth. 7.6 billion people. And he seeks you out. Imagine. He seeks you out. And he puts his hand on your life. And he puts his hand on your heart. And he puts his hand on your pain, your regret, your what-ifs, your if-onlys, your buts. And he says, I love you unconditionally. And I've got a plan and a purpose for your life. But as we discovered last Sunday, the plan and your purpose for your life is not within 0 and 100 years of age. His plan for your life is into eternity. It goes beyond what we see with our eye. It goes beyond what we experience in this earth. And he has sought us out. The worship team is going to come back. And just as they do, let me read the words of this song again. You were the Word at the beginning, one with God, the Lord Most High. Think of the scriptures that are read. Think of the Bible that you read and the song. Your hidden glory in creation, now revealed in you are Christ. What a beautiful name it is. Indeed, what a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a beautiful name it is. Nothing compares to this. What a beautiful name it is, the name of Jesus. Verse 2. You didn't want heaven without us, so Jesus, you brought heaven down. See, Jesus is heaven. Because remember where we're going to be with Jesus, that's going to be heaven. He brought heaven down. He brought the kingdom of God because the king of the kingdom brings the kingdom with him. You didn't want heaven without us, so Jesus, you brought heaven down. My sin was great. This morning, our sin is great. And I want to tell you, if you don't get that, you won't get the other part. If you don't get the first part, you will never get the second part.
I had my back turned to Jesus. I lived my selfish, self-centered life. My sin was filthy before God. I had shame. I had guilt. I knew I didn't have a turn, but I just knew I was awful. I knew I didn't want to live. I knew it was terrible and there was death inside me because of my sin was so awful. It was so terrible. It was so disgusting and cost a great price. My sin was great, but your love was greater. But if you realize that the seat and the heart of man is evil above all else, then you will appreciate the grace of God, the mercy of God, the kindness of God, the love of God. You're here this morning, and I've never really come across people who are self-righteous, honestly. I've come across people who think they are. I've come across people who blame and point a finger and do all that stuff out of their own inadequacies because they don't really know love. They don't know grace. And they've really never had an encounter with Jesus. It's easy to be arrogant when you haven't encountered Jesus. But when you encounter Jesus, all that flows away. And you realize that it's by the grace and mercy and kindness of God that we stand. That we have the privilege of loving one another. My sin was great, your love was greater. What could separate us now? Nothing can separate us. The second chorus, what a wonderful name. What a wonderful name, the name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a wonderful name it is. Nothing compares to this. What a wonderful name it is, the name of Jesus. What a wonderful name it is, the name of Jesus. And then there's a bridge. The bridge says, death could not hold you. Easter Sunday. He died on Good Friday, but 3 days later, he rose from the dead because death could not hold him. Come on. He is the living God. He is the risen Christ. Death could not hold him. The veil tore before you. You silenced the boast of sin and grave. The heavens are roaring. New Bridge is roaring. Open Arms is roaring. For you were raised to life again. Come on. You have no rival. You have no equal. Now and forever, God, you reign. Yours is the kingdom. Yours is the glory. Yours is the name above every name that ever was or ever is, because his name is beautiful beyond compare. His name is beautiful beyond compare. And we're going to stand, come on. And we're not going to sing. We're going to declare. You're going to enter your lungs. You're going to enter your voice. You're going to declare this song over your life, over your family, over your past, your present, and your future. Come on, guys.